Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
Carlinda Dynamite said, "Knock it off, Napoleon. Just make yourself a dang quesadilla." Welcome, Playmaker Stalker. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who's made himself a quesadilla restaurant. Today's Playmaker's company has contributed over $100,000 to support his restaurant's local communities. With us today is an owner who has also donated tens of thousands of meals to those in need by partnering with Millie's Food Pantry. This great Playmaker is Kyle Gordon. Kyle is owner and creator of Dilla's Quesadillas. Now, Kyle designed the brand while he was at the University of Texas at Austin on a one-page business plan. After graduation, Kyle attempted to gain funding for the quesadilla-focused restaurant and was turned down. Determined to succeed, he spent the following 7 years gaining industry experience as a certified training manager, which is one of only three out of 100 units at the time, at Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. Kyle gathered enough funding to launch Dilla's Quesadillas in 2013. Since its inception, Kyle has scaled the business from one unit with $725,000 in revenue to four units with $5 million in revenue, which is a 500% growth. Due to his leadership and passion, Dilla's continues to experience success. The brand has two new locations opening in the next 6 months. Well, Kyle, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
My question to you, since you went to UT, how does a government major at UT Austin become a restaurateur?
Pretty simple, I would think, because I didn't do a lot of schooling. You know, like I went to Texas. It was a big deal for me to get in there. I spent a year at UTSA. You know, I came in on a kind of like a scholastic probation type of deal. But, hey, I made it to Texas and I was there. And, you know, like I was an average student. And so I knew that I wanted to do something else, something entrepreneurial, something, you know, I was either going to be in real estate or something. I wasn't going to be an accountant or a lawyer or, you know, like so any of that. So I was like, well, what's my easiest way to spend 4 years at the University of Texas, make my grades, have some fun, and then get out of here and figure it out after that? And so government was a good track for me to be able to do that. And so that's what I did.
Did you have any background in government, or was that just something you picked?
No, it's just something I picked. Like, it was, you know, I was like, okay, like, I'm going to do this and history. You know, like, typical liberal arts, let's get through this thing. I'm going to, you know, I liked it, but I mean, I can't quote the Constitution or, you know, anything else like that. Like, that, it was my backup to potentially go to law school. Because that's what my brother had done, and I was like, you know what, like, I'll at least do this. But, I mean, my grades wouldn't have got me into any law school, maybe an online law school or something.
So you went to college with a clean slate, not knowing what you want to do.
Absolutely.
How did you get into being interested in the restaurant industry?
I am a service guy. I'm, you know, I naturally gravitate towards people. And so in college, I had a job at a pizza place, and, you know, I really enjoyed my time there, saw how it all worked. And then, you know, I was very interested in business, right? And so I knew that I wanted to do something, and I was like, well, I have ideas. And all of my ideas gravitated towards service stuff, you know? So I was like, okay. One of my ideas was coming into a college kid's house and doing their dishes, because I still saw that as a huge problem at the time from just going house to house and into people's dorms and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, that's a service business. That sounds like a good thing I could potentially do. And I was like, okay, you know, at the time, Chipotle had just kind of come onto the scene. So there was one down there on the drag, and I'm like, man, this is a cool thing. Like, it's not fast food. It's higher quality. I like this kind of fast casual thing that they're doing. So my wheels started turning, because I went to this place called Matt's El Rancho in Austin all the time. Like, growing up, we were there every week. My parents dragged us. We went so much, we ended up calling it Matt's El Rank, because we were there. We had our own table with our plaque on it. Like, we were there all the time. So I was like, and I only got quesadillas all the time. And so I was like, man, like, I like this Chipotle thing, but I want to do a twist on it. I'm going to do just quesadillas instead of just burritos. And then that's when the wheels started turning. And then I started really focusing on working on that, the recipes, the different ones that I would sell in class instead of class. I just did enough to take notes and make a B on the test.
You really had a background in the restaurant business without knowing it from the side of a customer and experiencing customer service. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about your quesadillas in a moment, but let's talk about what really has put you on the map, and that's the customer service you were talking about. I know you had to have a theme, and we can talk about it coming from the quotation I had at the very beginning with Napoleon's grandmother, I believe it was, Carlinda Dynamite. And you have to have a theme, and that's what you have with Dillas. What have you done to make customer service the forefront of Dillas Quesadillas?
Right. For me, it all really surrounded. I never wanted to have any excuses going into this. And what I mean by that is, from day one, my wife and I, Maggie, my wife, we designed it to look like a big boy, right? Like, we wanted people to come in on their first experience and not to say, oh, this is a mom and pop, or they didn't have enough money to really make this how it should look for a nice, you know, restaurant. Like, so we didn't want to have any of those excuses. So from the very beginning, we had a mission, a vision, we had some brand promises, you know what I mean? So, like, unique experience, primo quesadilla meals, and community impact, those were our brand promises, right? So we set a very strong foundation from the beginning, and our mission is deliver the goods, right? And that's around our core values of good food, good people, and good times, working hard and keeping it clean, right? So we had this, like, kind of this innate culture that we're going to stick to these founding principles, and then that drove everything else, right? Because we could just always point back to it around, like, the people that we brought in, right? Chick-fil-A gave me a tremendous amount of things. You know, I really studied a lot in my 7 years before I started Dillas. I studied success. I read books. I you know, got mentors through books, all that type of good stuff. So I knew a lot of the success recipe, right, in terms of how to treat people and how to bring the right people on, right? Like, higher smiles, higher attitude, you know, like all of that stuff. So we had the right people to be able to sell the product, and then it just kind of, you know, built on itself, and sales grew, and so did we.
We're speaking with Kyle Gordon. Kyle is the owner and creator of Dillas Quesadillas, and I want to talk about, and by the way, the website is Dillas, Dillas.com. Let's talk about your growth. You start out with one location. You now have three locations and moving toward more, especially in Louisiana with a partner. You're currently in Plano, Frisco, and McKinney. What caused your growth? Was it anything besides customer service, or was it all built on customer service?
Sure. It was built on customer service. You know, like, we were essentially the whole time we were very community focused, right? And so we were at the football games. We didn't care if there was going to be 30 people at the football game or 300. We said yes to everything, and then we showed up. You know, and that was a huge differentiator for us at the time, like, really being involved in the community and giving back and just showing that we're going to be there for the long haul, right? And so that's how we built this kind of, you know, community and kind of cult following around the first restaurant in Plano, right? And so $725,000 turned into $1.1 million, turned into $1.4 million, turned into $1.8 million. And so when you start talking about those types of volumes, you've got cash for growth, right? And so we said, okay, we're going to take the cash that we've made, we're going to roll it into another loan, open our second location. Okay, we're going to take the cash that we've made, we're going to open another location. And that's when we got McKinney going. And then we said, okay, we're going to take the cash away. And so, like, now we've got Denton opening in, let's see, you know, about 6 months, you know. We're LOI'd on a couple of other projects that we're trying to do. So just in DFW, we're looking at five or six within, you know, being in that range pretty quickly. And then somewhere, you know, early 2018, a guy who I knew from Raising Cane's, his name's Pete, he came to me and said, hey, man, I left Cane's. I've been doing this other thing for a while. I really want to get involved with Dillas. And I said, cool, let's do a joint venture. So we opened that. He's got a contract to do 10 restaurants. He's got one opening in 4 months, and then he's got a second one, so he'll be on three by April, right? So we're getting to 10 pretty quick.
In hearing what you're saying, and I believe it's Pete John you were talking about,
yeah.
who's going to be Louisiana, East Texas, basically move you farther east from where you are in DFW, your growth, your net worth, your income is all based on your belief, what you're putting into the customer service. Quality is there, or you wouldn't have lasted this long. It has to be some kind of quality. But again, it comes back to your customer service that you're doing too. I'll ask about quality in just a few moments. But I also understand you're a personal and business development nerd.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
I just love it. You know what I mean? Like, some people read, you know, fiction or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, they'll read stories, and I read business books, right? And so, like, I really enjoy – I'm also kind of like a personal success. A lot of people may stay away from, like, life coach type of books and stuff like that. I like them, you know what I mean? Like, I think there's a tremendous amount to be learned from that and goal setting and what other people have done, how other people have done it, right? And so, you know, I usually am reading multiple books at one time. At the same time, you know, I understand that I'm not always going to get and apply something from a book. But if I really like one, I'll go deep on it. I'll take a full thing of notes on it. But I don't do that for everyone, you know, and I don't try to digest more than I can apply, right? I don't say, oh, I've read 50 books this year. Who gives a crap? You know what I mean? Like, read one and do it, and that'll have a 10x impact on your life compared to reading 50 because you're looking for the number, right? So it's really just about that and really kind of rounding it out so I can be a better leader for the people that I serve, which are my general managers, and they make my life easy. They help deliver the goods for my team and my customers, and like, I love that because that helps us grow.
So you're not superficial about your reading. You're going, as you said, deep mm-hmm. in a specific one, and fewer of them mm-hmm. get as much out as possible. Coming back to leadership, you've mentioned that a couple of times. Did you pick up most of your leadership skills from Raising Cane's?
Yeah, I think so. You know, like, I would say it's more on the management of and what it takes to run a restaurant, a single unit location. And really where I cut my teeth there is like, okay, hiring the right people. I was a general manager there when I was like 24, right? And I was managing people who were in their 30s, you know? And so I had to learn how to treat people, how to influence people, how to make good people decisions. And then on top of that, I had to learn how to market, you know, how to avoid risk, you know, how to staff, like all these things that come with running a restaurant, which is, you know, I mean, I was running a $2 million business essentially. And so I said, okay, I've got all these business skills. I've applied a lot of leadership. I've had some fantastic mentors at Raising Cane's that have, you know, gone up there to become, you know, top of the at Raising Cane's executives. And so very blessed. And at the time, another thing is that I was also lucky in terms of timing, right? Because I was at one of the only two locations in DFW, and then Cane's called on a conference call and said, hey, Kyle, guess what? We're moving our headquarters to Dallas. And I said, that's fantastic, right? And so from 2 to 50 to 60, right? And I was the training restaurant. So I got to get influence from all these GMs from all over the, you know, state, guys from Payway, guys from Chipotle. Hey, this sucks here. This is great here. You know, I got a Chili's guy coming in. I'm like, wow, like, oh, my God. Like, so I was like in the fast lane of like restaurant leadership development.
What's interesting about developing leadership skills, you currently have 3 restaurants. Mm-hmm. You're going to be opening up 1 to 2 plus more. Mm-hmm. You can't be on site and doing everything. And the more restaurants you have, the more important are your leadership skills because you have to push it down. Mm-hmm. You have to lead through other people. And again, I'm sure that's helped your hiring and your promoting skills too mm-hmm. in finding the right people. So has leadership moved you to where you want to go?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, it's about influence at that point. And the other thing is I think that it becomes, you know, early on, I would try to be there a lot. I would try to be some sort of super general manager when I was in the restaurants, when I had these general managers. And what I've learned over time is that set up expectations, give them great systems, serve them in whatever they need. My general managers are, I look at them as my boss, right? And I'm a direct servant leadership to them. Whatever they need, I'm willing to support them, which empowers them to take and make a lot of decisions that they don't need to involve me. And it's about presence when I'm with them, right? It's about engagement, right? So I don't have to spend 30 hours a week with each one. I have to spend one really fantastic hour with them, be extremely, you know, clear on what our goals are together, and take their feedback and apply it and do the things that and listen, right? So it's just really about presence and engagement when I'm with them, rather than like just time together, right? So when we do get time together, it's deep and it's effective and efficient.
This goes back to the way you read books. You go deep with one. And that's what you're doing with your general managers. You're going deep with them. Mm-hmm. You don't have to spend hours with them and be there all the time. You go deep, help understand them, work with them. As you said, they are your boss. Mm-hmm. They let you know what they're doing, and you're allowing them to make mistakes, I would guess. Would that be correct?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, they get fewer and farther between on the mistakes, but a lot of the mistakes are you know, I would say that the mistakes typically have to do with people decisions, and then they kind of maybe make a bad people decision, and then they pay for it. It's rarely mistakes about, you know, I ordered the wrong thing, or I did this wrong, or something like that, because we have trust, right? Like, that engagement, that presence builds trust, so they always feel like they can call me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm there for them. You know, we're partners in it together, right? There's no failing. There's only opportunities, right? And so, like, them knowing that, it makes it a little bit easier for us to get along all the time and work together to make great decisions, because they've got somebody to rely on, and they know I'm always going to be there for them.
Growth comes from overcoming adversity and not making the same mistake a second time. I understand that the pandemic has been very good for Dilla's Quesadillas.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
We set ourselves up, I think, to be successful just from a brand concept, right? So we were doing 80% takeout, online order, drive-through, catering, you know, online order delivery, you know. So the writing was on the wall for this. I mean, when we started Dilla 7 years ago, like, you better have a very strong off-premise. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble when people shift towards, you know, wanting your product, but wanting it from the comfort of their home, or wanting to get it quickly, right? And so very quickly, we decided that we're going to be the best in the world at quality convenience, right? And so what that means is that we straddle that line between fast casual, which is kind of, you know, still around and still very popular, and quick service, right? And so, like, you know, we knew that we weren't going to be full-on quick service because our quality of our food and product was too high, right? And we knew that we weren't going to be fast casual because we could deliver it quickly, and we also weren't going to go way deep on the fast casual promises, right? So, for example, what I mean by that is, like, you know, we may not have all organic or all, you know, farm raised or whatever, and we don't want $30 quesadillas, right? Like, we just want to be the best in the world at quality convenience, and you know what you're going to get for a $10 quesadilla that is also still super high quality, but not, you know, extreme.
Let me ask you a couple of questions about your locations. You were going to be going to Denton. Can you reveal where that location is going to be?
So it's on 288. You know, it's kind of south side of Denton, where a lot of the, you know, Dentonites live. You know, it's south of the campus.
Then tell us where your other three are so people can have a chance to go and taste Dilla's Quesadillas.
Sure. So one's in McKinney on 380, very close to 75. Then we've got the our second one was Frisco. That's right on Preston, just north of 121. And then Plano is, you know, the first location that we opened, and that one's at Park and Midway, you know, just north of Bush, you know, kind of right by Prestonwood Baptist Church. There's a couple landmarks for them. But yeah, that's it.
Why should I go to Dilla's?
oh man, you're just going to love the quesadillas, right? It's unique. You know, it's something different, right? It's so easy to go get a burger, you know, it's so easy to go get a taco or the run of the mill, whatever, you know? And so when you go to Dilla's, you're going for the food. Yes, it's fantastic, but you know, you want some experience. You know what I mean? Like, there is a vibe, right? And a lot of places don't offer vibe, right? And that vibe is like you walk in, you get energy, right? I always want to go to a place where I get energy. I don't have to give it, right? I don't want to talk the guy who's taking my order into having a good day. He should talk me into being excited about what I'm about to order, right? And so, like, that's what we want. That's what we were promoting at Dilla's. And, like, and then on top of that, you get this food, and you're like, oh, my God, this is the best quesadilla that I've ever had. I can't go get this anywhere else. And if I did get something similar, I would have to go, wait, sit down, you know, have to pay for maybe a margarita, or, like, my ticket average is going to be $25. I got to tip the guy, like, all this stuff that goes along with this fantastic quality quesadilla meal that you don't have to do when you come to us, but the same quality, right? So that's why you should come.
You hit the nail on the head when you said experience. Mm-hmm. There's two pieces. There's the experience, and then there's the quality of the product. You're about as high as you can go on quality. Mm-hmm. Can you get better? Maybe a little bit better. There's always a dramatic room for growth when it comes to service. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, the service is the hardest part, you know, and especially right now, because people are, you know, a premium, you know, like we want to bring in primo people, but yeah, so does everybody. Easier said than done, right? Like, oh, we only hire for eye contact and attitude and, you know, a smile and all that stuff. Well, if I had people like that walking through the door every day, I mean, it would be easy, you know, it'd be, you know, so easy. But like, we have to develop and train work ethic in these times, right? Which is, I mean, it's different than it was when I started in the business back in 2004. You know, like it's showing them how to make eye contact sometimes, you know, like how to have a great conversation, what types of things to bring up, you know, whether it's weather, whether it's the logo on their shirt, whether it's, you know, maybe they've got a local high school shirt on. Hey, you know, like you can bring that up. Like you have to teach this salesmanship. You know, instead of just saying, hey, the Lone Star is my favorite. Well, no, like what we want to do is ask them what they like. Do they like beef? Do they like chicken? They like a little bit spicy? You know what I mean? Like, because we have so many first-time customers, right? And so the service component is the most important, but also the most difficult to consistently deliver.
You have donated dollars and food over your time owning a restaurant. What has that done for Dilla's, and what has it done for those who are receiving?
Sure. You know, the best reward is giving, you know, and so it's made us feel good. I can't point to a sales amount, you know, that it's brought in or anything like that. Like, we've partnered with Minnie's Food Pantry since the very beginning, and I had literally probably about $2,000 left in my capital account to open Dilla's number one. And I was so moved when we went and volunteered there before our grand opening, by kind of what they were doing. And Cheryl Action Jackson is the one who's leading the charge over there. I bought three $100 candles for each one of my managers. And I was like, man, like, I don't know why I'm spending three. I have no business spending $300 on three candles right now. But I believe in what they're doing here, right? And so we've partnered with them since basically that time. And I owe her an $800 check for something that a fundraiser we did with them on Friday, you know? And so, like, just over the years, the better you do, the more you give back, and it's just a virtuous cycle. That's what we believe, right? If we're always giving back to our communities, they're going to see that, and they're going to continue to reward us. And with us, the higher our sales are, since we're always giving back a percentage of sales, well, I can give back a percent of a million, or I can give back a percent of 2 million. And the 2 million is much better for my community. So, like, that's what we continue to do and continue to foster in our community. So it's just been fantastic.
In other words, the more listeners that go to Dilla's, the more that you're going to have to donate dollars and food. Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you or Dilla's.
Yeah, I think the easiest way is to go to dillas.com, you know, because there's contact us on there. It's very easy to get a hold of me, you know, like kylegordon@dillas.com. Like, email me anytime. I love talking to people. And in fact, you mentioned customer service earlier, and I kind of glossed over this, but every single Dilla's bag that goes out the door, the window, wherever it might be, has a little feedback sticker on it. It's got my cell phone on it, right? So I get texts, 3-4 texts. I get calls every day, all day, any time of night, because I want to make sure that my customer can get a hold of me, right? And that they understand that I'm connected to the unit and connected to their singular experience, whether it's in Plano, Frisco, McKinney, Shreveport, whatever. And so, like, it's that's the best way to get a hold of us, though, is dillas.com.
Well, Kyle, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show. This has been a terrific interview. Thank you very much for doing this. You have been a great guest.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Well, this has been a terrific show. We just spoke with Kyle Gordon. Kyle is the owner and creator of Dillas Quesadillas. It's been great having Kyle on the show, and thanks to all of you for listening and joining us. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.